This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, beginning with verse 45. As David is facing this Philistine giant, David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head off from you. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." The armies of Israel were facing again the armies of the Philistines. They had gathered in a valley known as the Elah Valley. The army of the Philistines in one side of the valley, the armies of Israel in the other side. But they had come to sort of a standoff because neither army was powerful enough to launch an attack that they could go up the hill to defeat the enemy. They were sort of just at one of those standoffs. But every day, this giant of a man named Goliath would come out into the battlefield and he would challenge the armies of Israel. Challenge them to a winner-take-all kind of a contest. "If you have any man that is brave enough to come out and fight me with me, let him come. And if I defeat him, then you become our servants. If he defeats me, we become your servants." And each day he would utter this challenge as he defied the army of Israel, the army of God. The Bible tells us that he was 9 feet tall, but also very strong. The armor that he wore weighed 150 pounds. His spear, the shaft of it was the size of a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 20 pounds. This probably was more to impress than it was to really be effective in battle. 150 pounds of armor plate on you would surely restrict your mobilities. A spear with a head weighing 20 pounds would be a tough thing to toss. If you guys have tossed the 16-pound shots, you know what trying to toss a spear with a head that heavy would be. It was probably more to intimidate. He was big to begin with. But with all of this armor and all, he was very intimidating. And the men of the army of Israel were intimidated by the size and the awesomeness of this man. But not only did he intimidate them with size, but his boast. "I'll take on any man. Winner take all. I defy the armies of Israel to send out a man to fight me." And when David came out to meet him, he sought to scare him off by threatening this young boy. Oftentimes, older people do frighten children by threatening them. I remember one day when our two boys came home from playing in the neighborhood, and they were really frightened. They came in, their eyes were big, as they said that the man on the corner said he was going to cut their ears off. And they believed him. I mean, they were really frightened. And sometimes adults make those kind of threats to sort of terrify children. And when David, this young boy, came out against the giant, he said, "Hey, little boy, I'll cut you up and feed you to the birds." And so he sought to intimidate, not just by his size and his armor, but he sought to intimidate people by his words. And he was awesome indeed. The men of the army of Saul were intimidated by him. In verse 11, it tells us that when he would come out and offer this challenge, that they were dismayed and greatly afraid. He had thoroughly intimidated them. In verse 24, it tells us that they would flee from him and were sorely afraid. And there was none of them who were willing to accept his challenge. David was just in his early teens, not yet old enough to fight in the army of Saul. However, his three older brothers had been drafted, and they were with the army of Saul, and they happened to be on this particular battlefield. David's father Jesse called him in from watching the sheep, and he said, "I want you to go down and check with your brothers and see how they are. Your mother has baked some bread. I want you to take them some parched corn and say, take some cheeses for their captains and find out how they're doing. Mother's worried about them, whether or not they're getting enough sleep and whether or not they're warm at night and how the battle is going." And David was excited about the prospect of going down and watching a war. And so he got on his chariot, and he came from Bethlehem to the Elah Valley, a distance of about 11 miles over the hillside. And when he came within view of the battle scene, he left his chariot with a servant, and he came down to talk to his brothers. And as he was gleaning the information that he might relate it to his dad and mom, how they were doing, things were going, is everything all right, and all, Goliath came out on the field, and he offered his challenge. "If you've got any man over there, let him come and fight me, you know. And if he's able to defeat me, then we'll be your servants." And David's brothers and all of the men sort of fleeing or heading towards their tents. And David said, "What's going on? What's happening?" And the fellows said, "The king has offered great riches to any man who will go out and fight him. He also will be able to marry the king's daughter, and his family will be freed from taxes in Israel." David said, "The king will do what?" And his older brother Eliab said, "David, Dad didn't send you here. You're down here for mischief. You just wanted to see a war. You better get home to your dad right now before you get into big trouble, because I'm going to tell Dad on you." And David said, "Hey, isn't there a cause here? This guy is defying the armies of God." And David turned to the guy and said, "What will the king do for the guy who was fighting him?" And the guy rehearsed it. He said, "Well, I'll fight him." And someone ran and told King Saul, "We've got a volunteer." And Saul said, "Bring him in." And when little David came in to the king said, "Oh, son, you can't go out and fight that giant. He's been a man of war from his youth, and you are only a youth." David said, "Well, tell you what. One day when I was watching my sheep, a lion and a bear came and they grabbed one of the sheep and was dragging it off. And I took hold of the lion by the beard and I killed him. And I also killed the bear. And the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said, well, you better put my armor on. And so David put his armor on. He said, I can't handle this stuff, man. I'll just go as I am. And he took it off. And he headed up the hill towards that giant. Now, it is interesting to notice the contrast between how that the army of Saul faced the giant and how David faced the giant. They faced the giant with great fear, dismay. They fled. Whereas David was, first of all, interested in the challenge of the giant. And then he expressed great confidence. When the king said, oh, you can't do it, he said, oh, but I can. For the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. And when he went out to meet the giant, and the giant sought to threaten him, and I'll chop you up and feed you to the birds, David responded to the giant, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I'm going to take off your head, and I'm going to deliver your whole army to the birds and to the wild beasts of the field. Confidence. But notice, his confidence wasn't in himself. Nor was he really boasting of what he could do. His confidence was in the Lord that delivered me will deliver me. And he said to the giant, the Lord is going to help me. And with the Lord's help, this is what I'm going to do. So he was looking at the power of the Lord, and his confidence was in the power of God to help him. So this vast contrast in the way they faced the challenge. The men of the armies of Saul were looking at the greatness of the giant, whereas David was looking at the greatness of God. The men of Israel had great confidence in the power of this giant, whereas David had great confidence in the power of God. And when the giant made his threat, I love what David first of all answered. He said, you've come against me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come against you in the name of the God of hosts, whom you have defied. And the people are going to know that God doesn't deliver with swords and shields. And the people will know that there is a God in Israel. So David went out with tremendous confidence in God. And he saw more power in the ability of God to deliver him than in this giant to destroy him. David was looking at the battle in the right perspective. It's not really a contest between the giant and me. It's a contest between the giant and the Lord. And though I wouldn't stand a chance against the giant, he doesn't stand a chance against the Lord. He saw it as a contest that would bring glory to God. And the glorious results, of course, we know. As David took his sling and put one of those rocks within the sling, and he let that rock fly towards the giant, it embedded itself in the forehead of the giant, knocked him over. Maybe knocked him out, maybe not. It could be with 150 pounds of armor, it was just too cumbersome to get up quickly. But by the time he could get up, David was upon him, and drew the giant's sword out of its sheath, because David didn't even have a sword, and he proceeded to cut the head of the giant off. And God delivered the Philistines that day to the armies of Israel. They were routed by the armies of Israel. Important lessons for us to learn in this story. First of all, get your eyes off of those giants that you are facing. You know, we get so overwhelmed by our problems. And the more you look at the problem, the more it grows. Have you ever noticed that? The more you study your problems, the bigger they get, until they get into gigantic proportions. Get your eyes off of the giants that you are facing and get your eyes on the Lord. It's so important that we get things in the proper perspective, and you cannot have the proper perspective until you see the whole situation as it relates to God's power and God's ability. Get your eyes on the Lord. Several years ago, actually 2 months before I was born, for all practical purposes, back in ancient history, 2 months before I was born, for all practical purposes, as far as they could ascertain, my sister died. It was just 2 weeks after my cousin had died of spinal meningitis, and she had the same symptoms. She went into a convulsion. She quit breathing. Her eyes rolled back in her head. Her jaw was locked, and her body was becoming cooled, stiff. My mother, in desperation, picked up the little lifeless form, ran from the apartments where they were living 2 blocks away to a church where there was a revival meeting going on. The ushers at the door went up and told the pastor of her desperate situation and led her next door to the parsonage. She was almost hysterical as she was looking at the lifeless form of her little girl there on the floor. And when the pastor came in, Dr. Mitzner, he said to my mother, "Get your eyes off of your little girl and get your eyes on Jesus. Start looking to Jesus. Don't look at your little daughter. Get your eyes off of her. Get your eyes on the Lord and just begin to worship the Lord." In the meantime, my dad had come home from the pool hall, and the nurse there said, "Mr. Smith, you better get hold of your little daughter. I'm afraid she's dead, and your wife, rather than taking her to the hospital, took her to the church up the street." You'd have to understand my dad to know his reaction. He was going to go up and beat up on the minister and take his little daughter and get her to a hospital where she could get the right kind of care. But when he walked into the room and saw her lifeless form, he just fell on his face, weeping out to God for help. In a few moments, they heard a whimper and they looked, and my little sister had opened up her eyes. She called for her mommy, and she was instantly completely healed. When they came back to the apartment units, the people had all gathered and were talking about the tragedy, and to their amazement, she was smiling, happy, healthy. But while she was in that lifeless condition on the floor, my mother prayed and said, "God, if you will just give me my little girl back, I will give you my life and I will serve you all the days of my life." But she said that she got her eyes off of my sister. As she was worshiping the Lord, she almost forgot of the lifeless form of her little daughter. She just was taken by the Spirit into this presence of the Lord where she was just worshiping Him. And as she did, God worked. 2 months later, when I was born, the doctor came in and said, "Well, Mrs. Smith, you have a fine baby boy." He didn't know. She closed her eyes and said, "Lord, through this my son, I will fulfill my promise to you. He's yours to be your servant, to minister, whatever." When they told my dad, he went down the halls of the Big Sisters Hospital there in Ventura saying, "Praise the Lord, it's a boy. Praise the Lord, it's a boy." For in that 2 months, they had both completely committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of an environment in which the Lord brought me into this world. But oh, what good advice that pastor gave to my mother. Get your eyes off of your daughter, off of her condition. Get your eyes on Jesus. How important. David had his eyes on the Lord, on the power of God. He wasn't cowed by the size of the giant. He wasn't intimidated by this huge guy because he was looking at the Lord and he saw the power of the Lord. And he sort of felt sorry for this big oaf, for the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The second lesson, Paul the Apostle, probably picking up, we read Psalm 56 where David talked about his triumph. He says, "For God is for me." Realize that God is for you. And Paul, picking up on that in Romans chapter 8, said, "For if God is for us, who can be against us?" John said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Jude said, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling." And Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, "I've been praying for you that you might know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe." And again, in writing to the Ephesians, he said, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." God is for you. And God has made available to you the resources of heaven. The strength of God, the power of God, the abilities of God are all yours. God is for you. And when God is for you, no giant can stand. No problem can continue. For there is nothing that is too big for God. Through the power of the Lord, every giant in your life can fall. But you've got to trust in God and get your eyes on Him and off of your problems and situations and just commit yourself to the Lord. And He shall surely destroy the giants that are threatening you. Shall we pray? Our Father, today, we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us as we face the issues of life, as we see these giants, as we hear their threats, and their boast. Lord, we know that we are weak. Lord, we know that we would surely fall before them. We know, Lord, that we're not capable of battling them ourselves. We know, Lord, that the problem is bigger than what we can handle, but we thank you, Lord. It's not bigger than you. In fact, Lord, it's nothing to you. And so help us, Lord, that we might get our eyes upon you and that power that you've made available to us who will trust and believe. And thus we put our trust in you today, Lord. And we look to you for your help. Destroy the giants that are threatening us, Lord, that we might know your victory and that the world around might know that God lives, that God is alive today, and that the battle is the Lord's. And it's not won with swords and spears and the guise or the wisdom of man, but with the power of the eternal God who is our strength and our help. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. I don't know how big the giants are in your life that you've been facing of late, but I have no doubt but what they are bigger than you can handle. But I do also know they're not too big for God. And that if you, as David, will just get your eyes upon the Lord and go out in the name of the Lord and just trust in him, the giants will fall, whatever they may be. You can have and know God's victory over every foe. And may God grant you that victory this week as you go in Jesus' name. Maybe this morning, you don't know how. The problems you're facing, the giants that are there are just too big. I'd encourage you, go back to the prayer room. As the Bible says, just cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Turn it over to the Lord. Let the Lord fight your battle. Experience the power of God working in your behalf. For if God is for you, who can be against you? Go in his name. Be strong. Be victorious through that power working in your life this week. In Jesus' name.